88.3 Southern FM. The sounds of the Bayside.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling, calling home.
Welcome to episode 37 of our Planet Earth series, in which we look at our home planet. We're going to begin with an item about a satellite which was launched on March the 1st of this year.
3, 2, 1.
NOAA is about to launch a new satellite into orbit above the Earth. This satellite will be the third in a fleet of NOAA's latest generation of geostationary operational environmental satellites, called GOES, the most advanced weather observing and environmental monitoring system in the Western Hemisphere. GOES satellites orbit 22,236 miles above the Earth's equator at speeds equal to Earth's rotation. This allows for continuous coverage of weather systems as they move throughout the atmosphere. The GOES satellite system keeps watch over more than half the globe, from the west coast of Africa to New Zealand, and from the Arctic Circle to the Antarctic Circle. Each satellite in the series provides high-resolution imagery in near real-time to provide critical information for weather forecasts, severe weather prediction, lightning detection, and solar activity. The latest satellite is GOES-T, which will be renamed GOES-18 when it reaches orbit. GOES-T will be the third satellite in the series and is expected to replace the current GOES-17 satellite in the GOES-West orbit. In this position, the satellite will continue GOES-West's legacy of keeping watch over the Pacific Ocean, the Western U.S., and the U.S. territories. It will provide complete satellite coverage for the weather systems that impact Hawaii and Alaska. It will provide critical data over the northeastern Pacific, where many of the weather systems affecting the continental U.S. originate. It will monitor and track tropical storms and hurricanes in the Pacific Ocean. It will help identify and track wildfires across the western U.S. It will assist in search and rescue efforts around the U.S. and its surrounding waters as part of NOAA's SARSAT system. And it will help monitor and track weather phenomena that impact the western U.S., like dust storms, monsoons, marine fog, atmospheric rivers, and more. The GOES series of satellites supports NOAA's mission to provide secure and timely access to global environmental data and information from satellites and other sources to promote and protect the nation's security, environment, economy, and quality of life.
Most satellites that observe the Earth orbit our planet every 100 minutes at an altitude of 800 kilometers or less. Another group are geostationary. We've just heard about one, GOES-T. At an altitude of 38,000 kilometers, they orbit Earth once every 24 hours and so appear to hover at one spot over the equator. But there is one unique satellite stationed 1.5 million kilometres from the Earth, more or less in the direction of the Sun. From its lofty perch, it sees our planet's sunlit face as the Earth spins on its axis. How, you might ask, can a spacecraft so far out in space gather any useful information about Earth? That's what they said when then-United States Vice President Al Gore, when he proposed such a satellite. Well, the satellite was built, despite the skepticism, and following a change in government, put into storage. Years later, it was unpacked from its shipping container and launched, much to the chagrin of the naysayers. Called Discover, D-S-C-O-V-R, the craft has, over the years since launch, proved its worth. Turns out you can make unique measurements of Earth's environment from such a distance. What's more, scientists are finding more uses for Discover as time goes on. We here on the Space Show have previously reported on some of the early results of the mission, and we shan't repeat those here. We shall reveal, however, that some of the new uses are being made in 2021 and 2022. Daniel Feldman of the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory has found that the Earth's reflected shortwave radiation has exhibited remarkable long-term stability. This is despite variability over timescales ranging from hourly to multiple years. This has been used to validate data from low Earth orbit satellites, which have been measuring the top of the atmosphere and surface fluxes and clouds. Discover is able to measure the changes in Earth's brightness due to zonal contrast and cloud movements as the Earth rotates. The brightness also changes by the Earth's axial tilt as it orbits the Sun. The amount of moonlight shining on the Earth also affects satellite measurements. Discover can sometimes see the Moon as it passes in front of or behind the Earth. In its early years, Discover's measurements of the Earth had to be discarded when the Moon was in view of its instruments. Recently, Alan Smith of Standards and Technology Incorporated has reported on two updates to the shortwave channel. By applying a lunar light correction, most of the data previously flagged as unusable when the Moon is within view of Discover can now be used. You may have noticed when flying that the sun glints off rivers and lakes. Turns out that Discover can spot sun glint off oceans or even ice crystals in clouds. It does this by comparing measurements made at wavelengths of 688 and 764 nanometers. Amazingly, Discover can tell whether the sun glint off cirrus clouds is caused by water surfaces on the ice crystal or from the crystal surface itself. The nature of the oceanic sun glint can yield information about how smooth the ocean surface is. Thomas Varney of the University of Maryland has automated the process of detecting sun glint and identifying its cause. Sun glint off clouds occurs when the ice crystals are horizontally oriented. Such results are expected to yield new insights on glint-causing objects, for example, the microphysical and radiative properties of ice clouds. At Boston University, Yuri Knyukskim has been using Discover to measure five aspects of vegetation and canopy. At the Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland, Yaping Zhu has made improvements in measuring clouds over the ocean. This is especially the case over regions with bright surface reflection. This has allowed more realistic analyses of cloud daily variability. Also at Goddard, Yuikui Yang has made significant improvements to the way clouds are measured over snow and ice, as well as over ocean sun glint. Another Goddard scientist, Alexei Laputsin, has developed better ways to improve aerosol measurements over land. His colleague, Omar Torres, is validating the use of ultraviolet light to measure aerosol optical depth. He showed that such observations are particularly suited for the detection and characterization of stratospheric carbonaceous aerosols. Over at the University of Maryland, Kai Yang has developed a method to better measure ozone and volcanic sulfur dioxide. This is being validated with coincident ground-based ozone measurements. This validation showed that the Discover data is greater than or equal to those from other satellite instruments. Discover has superior spectral coverage and higher signal-to-noise ratios. The effectiveness of Yang's method was successfully demonstrated during last year's La Soufriere eruption. Results from the Tonga eruption have yet to be published. Meanwhile, at the University of Michigan, Simon Kahn has also been using Discover to detect volcanic sulfur dioxide. The La Soufriere eruption on the island of St. Vincent was the largest tropical eruption that had occurred during the Discover mission. As such, the 2021 April event provided a unique opportunity to the scientists. Now, this is because this eruption produced a lot of ash that affected the sulfur dioxide measurements. The latest iteration of the sulfur dioxide measuring software introduces an aerosol correction to help mitigate the impact of volcanic ash. And we await news of how this fared during the Tonga eruption. So successfully has been the Discover mission that a new mission has been proposed. The Integrated Earth Observation System would advance the earth and climate sciences from observations taken at Lagrange points. There are five such points in the Earth-Sun system. Objects at Lagrangian points in space are at gravitational equipotential with the Earth and Sun. They therefore remain fixed in orbit relative to the Earth and the Sun. Well, Discover is at L1, which is 1.5 million kilometres away from the Earth in the direction of the Sun. Now, L2, which is where the James Webb Space Telescope is directly away from the Sun, again, 1.5 million kilometres from Earth. Now, Francisco Valero at the University of California, San Diego, is an advocate of the Integrated Earth Observation System. He would put more capable Discover-like satellites at L1 and L2 to make daylight and nighttime observations respectively. There could possibly be additional artificial Lagrange point platforms. Meanwhile, the Discover spacecraft is working nominally, which means it's going just fine, and is anticipated to continue to operate through the next 5 years, barring any unexpected failures. Well, Al Gore must be very, very pleased.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless.
And someone who's been in space is Luca Parmitano. So here is Luca Parmitano talking about his observations of the Earth.
Did I see the frequency and violence? The frequency, yes. I had, unfortunately, many more chances to take pictures of storms and hurricanes while I was in orbit, flooding. In Southeast Asia, Africa, but the intensity, like I said, taking the pictures of the eye of Hurricane Dorian was one of the most terribly fascinating thing I've ever done. It was that the size of it was something I had never experienced before, and you can go back to the Flickr account of the Beyond mission and go see itself. We've also made several time-lapse videos to show the different times and but also at different distances using the magnifying capability of the lens, how incredibly powerful that hurricane was. And then, you know, reading and watching the news about the devastation left by this phenomenon obviously is as much as a confirmation as anything that we saw with our eyes. But the short answer, again, is yes, you can see with your eye the difference that happened in our environment in only 6 years of span.
And we'll leave Luca there, and it's time to sign up here on The Space Show.